Hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, James, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-host, Shannon.
Hello.
Kieran.
Hello.
And Ewan.
Hello.
Hello, Ewan. How does it feel to be on the other side?
It feels great. I'm here to celebrate, James.
It's a big celebration today, I think. So today we're going to be talking about a new Batman Arkham game, but not in the way that you would expect. Sony rolling back a controversial decision for one of their best performing games of the year. Rumors of a brand new Resident Evil game, of course, because I'm hosting, and a cancelled unexpected collaboration between Nintendo and Activision. Now, we had a very packed episode already, but we decided to pack one more thing in.
Breaking. Because,
yeah, it's already broken, you might even say. But, I don't know what that means.
Especially by the time I edit this episode that comes out tomorrow.
yeah, it's going to be well and truly broken. As we went to record today, Nintendo decided to just randomly tweet that they will be revealing the successor to the Nintendo Switch before March 2025. And that they'll be doing a Nintendo Direct in June for games coming out for the rest of the year. It's worth noting that the Direct won't cover anything to do with the new hardware, so they've kind of got tempered expectations there. So I just thought, before we jump into the show, how are we feeling about the announcement and the fact that, to a certain extent, it's finally happening? Go.
Well, I feel like we need to address that. I'm wearing a Mario hat, for starters. If you're not watching this podcast, then you would have missed that. That's hence why I was giggling at the start. We've been talking about this for a while. I felt like this was a momentous moment. Maybe not announced the way any of us would expect or hope that it would be. I get that this isn't the announcement, but for it to just kind of...
Be acknowledged
in this way is a little disappointed, but the Mario hat's on. I'm here to celebrate this little win that we've got, finally word of a successor for the Switch.
Yeah, I think we debated talking about it because it's not really news, but in the same breath, we've been speaking about this for 3 or 4 years as if it's going to happen imminently. Mm. So at least now we know in the next 10 months, we're going to know more about this. Of course, we don't know when it's going to release or how soon after that, but at least the speculation and this kind of a timeline, without having a timeline, we know it's going to be happening in the next year, which is exciting. It feels too far gone at this point, I think, but at least it's happening.
Mm.
Do you think it's just the announcement that happens this? Oh. Sorry, James.
I'm
already falling back into my habits. Yep. Do we think it's coming out this year, or is it just an announcement?
I don't think
it's announcement by March, right? So I don't think it's coming this year. Because I don't know. I guess it could be, but I don't think it is. I think if they're not announcing it in June, which I don't know if we're going to talk too much about that, but... I feel like all signs point to it not happening this year, or we would have seen a different announcement that fits in with their financials and needing to deliver something for this fiscal year. Could be wrong, who knows, but it's the vibe.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely get a reveal this year, but I think release is definitely next year at this stage. But what I was going to say was, I'm going to pivot quickly to the other side of this announcement and ask Kieran, since we've both experienced Princess Peach Showtime, how do we think this bodes for the rest of the year on Switch? Do we think that this is going to be a banger year to see it out, or not so banger, or mid-bang, what degree of bangedness can we expect?
Yeah, I hope that it's a banger. I hope that they've got stuff. I was saying to Shannon earlier, I almost feel like maybe they have cross-generation releases that they'd originally planned for an earlier Switch 2 launch that they could pump out. And then, if it means that they're not as fresh at launch next year or whenever the Switch 2 comes out, it's Nintendo, they can probably afford to double dip. But it's hard to say. fingers crossed we get those like Zelda remakes, HD re-releases that people have been asking for the longest time.
Yeah, I definitely think that there won't be a lot of... I don't think there'll be like a big new game this year for them. I think there will be some kind of like remaster of like a beloved game in a similar fashion to Paper Mario. But yeah, I don't think any like there'll be any like big heavy hitters or original titles from them this year.
I'm surprised you're not holding out hope that Metroid like closes it out.
I think it's like pretty well assumed slash I was going to say documented, but it hasn't. But I think of all the games to like move to the new console, that's the best one to do it because one, it's more realistic looking, so I think it's going to benefit from a boost in hardware. But also like, as much as it hurts me to say this, like, no one cares about it as much. So, like, you can kind of move it to the sweatier console for the sweatier people and they'll still, you know, embrace it and be happy for that. Whereas, you know, if like you said the new Mario Kart is only on the new console straight away or something, like, that would maybe be a harder sell.
I don't know. I'm in two minds about it, though, because, like, they've been working on that game for, what, like, 8 years? Like, between retro
you
and
know, it's going like, to be good.
No, it's going to be good, but there's so many Switch owners that, like, if it's a launch title for, like, historically, like, the Zeldas have been dual console, but then I can't see how that could run on the OG Switch.
Like, I feel like it's the kind of title that could be a crossover. Like, close it out could, it the could Switch, be. Bigger, bigger,
it'll
like,
be an
farewell.
Awful experience, I think. Not awful, but, like, it'll be dramatically worse, which
I
might
think
be a
the,
good thing.
But the Prime remaster was pretty nice looking. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not 4... If the new one's going to be 4K, I guess it doesn't matter if it's not 4K on
Do we even
the
think it's
going to
be 4K?
I feel I think like it'll be upscaled. No, yeah, I think that's... I think it's... Yeah, I think it'll try and do it. Or it'll be capable of doing it. I don't know if it will for like Metroid Prime. Yeah, exactly. Like
Peach tried to do something.
Peach is a good example because like I think that'll be a game that's like it's been sort of shut out under the radar, but like that'll get its moment with the Switch 2, I think, in terms of like showing off the graphics and what's clearly there if you look through the smudginess and frame rate drops of it all. it's interesting. It's going to be interesting because Nintendo's never been like the graphics console maker, but I feel like they're gonna have to like speak more about how the improvements are on that side. So that's exciting.
I'd care way more for consistent frame rates than I would any resolution bump, like presumably
which they were
the
doing to
be
fair they were doing that fine with like Odyssey and stuff. It's just like this last 1 or 2 years where it has really started to, especially Peach, start to show itself.
Yeah, it's weird because like then Tears of the Kingdom is fine, right? So
yeah, I kind of feel like it's an optimization thing more so than anything.
Well, but Tears is still
hardware
30 though, right?
Definitely makes it harder. Like, yeah, yeah.
But I guess that could be 60. If you think, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, as always. But yeah, I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be good. I'm slightly more excited, but not too excited.
So. It actually feels real and tangible now, right? As opposed to being this kind of dream that just felt like it kept getting kicked further and further down the road. It'd be interesting because I wonder like how soon, how long is it we've had the PS5 and the Xbox Series X now? How far are we into that console generation?
4 to 5 years, I think.
Yeah. It just kind of all a bit out of alignment, but I suppose we're probably getting pro consoles sort of next year, you would assume as well. So maybe everything's just kind of getting its mid.
Year, don't we?
Refresh.
Anyway, yeah. That's another. Yeah. That's a whole other.
This early next
bowl
year.
Of fish, as Ewan would say. speaking of fishy, the next game in the Batman Arkham series has been announced or teased, I guess. It's called Batman Arkham Shadow. It is the second title in the series to employ VR, and it is being headed up. It's heading exclusively to the MetaQuest 3 and is being developed by Camouflage, who are the development house who made Iron Man VR. The trailer has lots of rats, which is like something worth mentioning. Apparently, I've seen that pop up a lot. So if you're into your rats, this might be the game for you. If you're a rat enthusiast.
Well, it's like heavily implying that Rat Catcher is the enemy, right?
Yes, I did read that sentence. I didn't care. I didn't look up Rat Catcher. I just thought, yeah, cool. I actually assumed it's just like, you know, people hallucinating rats like scarecrow vibes, but Ratcatcher is a better fit for sure. I guess, like, for this one, like, I just want to ask everybody, open it up and say, like, how do we feel about this? I know that, like, Arkham VR was really good. I enjoyed it on the PS4. Are you surprised to see it not be on VR2?
Yeah, I think, yeah, just given, yeah, again, more so for the people that have spent $750 and don't have a lot to play. I feel like this is just the latest in a long string of, like, these big name games that aren't coming. Do they own Camouflage now? Or?
I feel like Camouflage is a Meta developer now, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's, yeah, I guess that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, they are. I didn't actually know that. That's an interesting tidbit. So obviously,
I remember thinking
that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's a big loss
yeah.
for the PlayStation gamers.
Because from what I understand, I didn't play Iron Man, but I think did you guys play that when it came out? I remember thinking, hearing a lot about it's actually quite good, but the limitations of VR1 really held it back.
It's really good on the Meta Quest 2 or 3, so mm-hmm. I guess that bodes well.
Do we think it's a bit of a dog act that they're skipping Meta Quest 2 entirely?
I had missed that bit. I kind of assumed I was going to be able to play this on my 2. That's disappointing.
Oh, see? We got to get live disappointment from you as the penny
again,
because I really
like
enjoyed Batman Arkham VR.
Yeah,
and
that was
so
good.
I was kind of imagining this would be in a similar sort of vein, despite being from a different developer. And so, yeah, for that reason, I haven't bought a PSVR 2, but to be honest, like, that ship has already kind of sailed in my mind. Like, I just don't see that console kind of getting
Sony's
much
mind
support.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
My gut says it'll come with the 2. I think they'll use it to sell some more 3s, because I think that hasn't flown off the shelf like the 2s have. And Batman's a very big name. So I think they'll use it for that initially and then somehow bring it to the 2.
Is the 3 a dramatically big upgrade from the 2? Like, in terms of the fingers and the fingers, you know what I mean? Like,
it's way better
at
fingering than the 2.
All that jazz. Like, does it have a lot of things that would only be, like, possible on the 3? Like, is this a technical thing, or is it purely, like, a cash thing, if you get my drift?
I think there's probably a technical aspect of it. I think, I haven't used the Quest 3, though. Shannon, you have, right?
It's definitely better. Like, I haven't really played too many of, like, the bigger games on both, but, like, it's a big improvement. But what they get out of the Meta Quest 2 and, like, all the updates they brought to that to make the performance in that better, like, I wouldn't say it's dramatically different. The tracking, it's all better, but it's not like game changing. So there's nothing there that makes me think they couldn't bring it to the 2 eventually. But I guess VR, like, you can't have the frame rate drops and stuff, like, or it makes you feel sick physically. So, I think it'll come to the 2. There's, like, I don't know how many millions, but it's, like, the most popular VR console of all time, right? So, I think it'll come to that. But it is sad for PlayStation owners, I think.
Yeah, like, it does. Yeah, it feels like a big gap, but I, like, as I've discovered right now, that if the studio is owned by Meta, who obviously want to push into this space more than Sony does, then that's what you get.
I really think that Meta stands the best chance now of, like, actually kind of taking VR where everyone kind of wants it to go. Kind of them announcing that they're going to open up the kind of platform to other VR manufacturers, and it sounds like they're going to have some sort of partnership with Microsoft as well. Like, that just seems to be kind of a no-brainer to, like, have kind of one kind of key player.
There's not enough
studios. No one wants a monopoly, but
yeah, to have exclusives and split.
Yeah.
Like, all of the content needs to live on all the platforms. Like, I don't think there's not enough VR owners and not enough VR developers to have this divide.
Whilst it's an emerging thing, like, I just don't think you can kind of have it split the way that it is, and it's, like, only going to go traction with the kind of the support that, like, one unified system could garner. They've kind of off the front foot as well of, like, having that install base with Meta Quest 2.
How do we just feel generally about it being a VR game? Like, the Arkham name has, like, such strong pull, and, like, obviously Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad, for whatever you think of them, like, probably weren't what anyone wanted. Like, how does that sit with y'all?
I think the I think, like, obviously everybody has been saying they want a new Batman game, right, for a long time. And then Gotham Knights got announced. People were like, oh, no Batman. Suicide Squad got announced, and there was Batman, but not in the way people wanted, obviously. So, like, to have both of those games come out, die in the ass, and then be like, oh, no, there is an Arkham game coming, but it's, like, for the MetaQuest 3 only. That definitely will hurt some people, but I've got a feeling, as I was kind of maybe alluding to in my in this question I was going to ask, is I feel like the brand power of Batman in games is eroding quite rapidly. So, I don't know... especially like in the face of Spider-Man doing so well with, like, you know, the masses and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah, okay, I hear what you're saying, because I guess, like, Arkham Knight, you know, people were divided on, and Origins obviously wasn't, so, like, you could argue that we haven't really had, like, a top tier Batman game since what, City, right? Like,
I don't, I still think Knight was top tier, but I guess, like, fine. There wasn't, like,
I think,
like, a runaway success in the same way the first two games were.
Yeah.
You know, which is probably more accurate to say.
I still feel, like, people's excitement and, like, disappointment that this is a VR game just kind of shows that there are still legs there. And truthfully, we'd be kidding ourselves to think there was going to be a fully fledged, you know, Arkham entry kind of so soon after Suicide Squad. I think the fact that we are kind of getting some sort of release, even kind of, you know, presumably a smaller VR release, shows that, you know, WB kind of still see the potential in it and haven't totally overlooked it. Like, they could be coming out after Suicide Squad and announcing another game as a service title. The fact that this isn't that, we should be celebrating. Yes, it maybe isn't quite what we wanted, but it isn't Suicide Squad 2. Yeah, I feel like you should hold that hope. And yeah, Arkham VR was great. If you haven't played that, like, it translates well to VR, and hopfully that's what...
If you've still got your PS4 lying around.
Yeah, I was going to say,
yeah,
your PS4 one.
Did that not come to Quest?
I think it's... I'm just going to quickly fact check that, because maybe it did come to something else.
Yeah, I really hope it did. I mean, it was like the one thing I played on my PS4.
I feel like it was exclusive from memory. It was one of those original...
Oh, no, it came to Vive, Rift, and Index later. So definitely worth your time. It's a short experience, but... The ending is really fucking cool. One of the first... I mean, it's an early example of VR done right, but I don't know how it stands up today, but it was really amazing back then, so... Yeah. So, on that, more information will be revealed at Summer Game Fest in June. So, if you're excited still after that positive conversation that we had about it, you can definitely check it out. I'm sure we'll have all the updates available for you then. So, moving on to something... This, like, doesn't really interest me, to be honest, but, like, I'm glad that it's...
So you put it in there for me. Thank you.
I put it in there because I know someone... Shannon loves an opportunity to defend Sony. Ewan loves talking about Sony.
I feel like you've been defending...
Kieran has a flag in his room.
I literally started this podcast wearing a Mario hat. Yeah.
So, anyway... So basically, over the weekend, if you were online in any way, you probably would be aware that Sony reinstated the requirement, I guess, for people who are playing Helldivers 2 on PC to link their PSN account to their is it a Helldivers account? I don't know, but you have to basically have a PSN
Steam
account to play.
Account, I think it was. Yeah.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. So originally, this was actually originally a requirement at launch, but because of Helldivers being such a runaway success, there were some technical issues, so they kind of dropped the requirement. But now they've, like, reinstated it. So in the midst of that, a lot of people complained. The game was review bombed with hundreds of thousands of negative reviews. Arrowhead themselves were even encouraging people to go get refunds, make your voices heard, which is interesting to me, but I think also quite reasonable in the face of this. I think the big thing was, though, obviously, there are a lot of countries, smaller countries, admittedly, but there are a lot of countries that where PSN isn't a thing. You can't actually have a PSN account. So those people couldn't actually play the game anymore. And though eventually, when that news came to light over the weekend, the game was removed from sale as well, completely. In the time since then, all of that's been relaxed, so now you can just play it again. You don't need to have a PSN account. So I guess to throw to one of you, how do we feel about all this played out? Is it as big a deal as everyone was making?
Yeah, I think the whole thing is like rather regrettable, and clearly it wouldn't have been a problem if it was just kind of working in the first place. But I think it was like some sort of technical issue that prevented them from kind of linking the accounts in the first place, so they went without it. And I don't think it was maybe well enough known that they had the intention to kind of amend it and enforce it like later on. But it was news to me that like PSN was unavailable in so many regions. And I kind of looked up the list of 170 countries as well. It is a hell of a lot of places in which that this game would have suddenly been inoperable.
Just on that, does that mean this, like, did this not release there originally? Like, what was the go with that?
So it released on Steam, like on PC, because like that region, you know.
I get that, but if the intention was to add it in or like launch with it, would that have been an issue originally?
That is a good
point. They just not thought about that.
Yeah. I kind of get the sense they just hadn't thought about that. But I sort of feel like there has to be some sort of network infrastructure sort of reason for it. Because my understanding as to why like PSN doesn't work in certain markets is kind of down to like the availability of servers and kind of some
Sony infrastructure. Or would they just drop that requirement for places that didn't have it? Because that's going to be an issue going forward.
Yeah, potentially. Like for other releases as well, right? Like
I think Ghost of Tsushima, they've already said that I don't think you need to link it for any single player stuff, but for multiplayer, you do. Which is out this month as well. In a game like that's like a really good point. So I didn't even think about that at all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't mind linking the accounts because I want like the PlayStation ecosystem to kind of be a thing.
Whatever. And most people
want to get the trophies on PC. Like if it's a play anywhere kind of style thing in future, like what Xbox do, like I'm all for that. I think in this case, it's the sort of just like the player choice being stripped away. And that's why everyone got very vocal about it and rightfully so. And I'm pleased that like the Helldivers community who have been, you know, waging this war together kind of went on one a bit IRL and banded together and managed to get this across the line. Credit to PlayStation. I think Arrowhead kind of always made their thoughts known, but credit to PlayStation for actually kind of reversing the decision and listening to the player feedback, because it may whatever the technical reasons for them doing so are, it may have created some headaches, but clearly they're going to try and find a way to make it work.
Do you think they would have done that if people weren't refunding it?
I think the criticism was taking the shine off the game considerably. And they weren't happy with what that posed. Because
I think such a big thing about this game has been word of mouth, like in so many ways. And like just even seeing on a Steam page, I know it's on almost every game now. Like overwhelmingly negative or whatever on the reviews. It's never a good look, especially with that volume of reviews. I agree with you in that way.
And it's really funny now too, because figuring out like how to do a game as a service title, right? And this game like got it right. Like you kind of pay an entrance fee. It's not a full priced release. You get really good bang for buck. And then if you want to, there's kind of plenty of like options to kind of, you know, get extra items to the game that kind of build on the experience. They keep rolling out like additional acquisitions and stuff, and earning more money that way. But like, I don't know. I think they've just got the balance right. And for them to kind of shoot themselves in the foot at this stage was not a good look. But I'm, pleased to see that they've course corrected.
Are you going to ask your last question? I'm waiting for it.
Oh, it's a bit controversial. I don't know. I'm thinking of dropping it. I'm kind of shivering a bit. I was just about to say, though, it's kind of related. People are now like, now good, now like, let's get Stellar Blade fixed. People really want those costumes back.
I'll save you from asking it.
My question was, as written in the notes, if anything, the quick turning on this game highlights how you're only one decision away from potentially getting your audience to turn on you. Are gamers too fickle?
Yes.
Discuss.
I think, like with anything, especially in the gaming world, like, people just like to shit on things and comment on it. And, like, I'm sure this did affect a lot of people if they weren't going to play it anymore. Like, that's totally valid. But I do think, like, everyone was just piling on this when it probably didn't affect them. And I really can't see anyone actually not wanting to do this. Like, why would, if you've got a PlayStation Network account and have a PS5, I guess a lot of people wouldn't. So, I don't know. I think a lot of people would have had genuine concern, but I think, I don't know, it just felt like there's been a lot of over-the-top commentary on this, but there is with anything in gaming more so than anything else in the world. So, I don't know, it worked, and Sony obviously backflipped, which sets a precedent for them going forward. Normally they don't. Like, there's been a lot of things where there's been backlash with the PS5 or, like, upgrade fees and things, and they've stuck to their guns and it blows over. But I think the goodwill of Arrowhead, I think that they would have been very upset by this, and I'm sure some calls were made and backflips were done. But I think as a whole, like, the Stellar Blade, there's something every week that we talk about that's of this elk. And it won't stop. When Nintendo announced their console, there'll be another thing. Like, anytime a major game's going to come out, there'll be something else. Most of them are justified, but I feel like gamers like to take it a little bit too far, even if it doesn't impact them personally.
Yeah, I think in instances where it's kind of misplaced, the kind of online vitriol does get unwieldy. And yeah, you pointed to the Stellar Blade one, like, the screenshot comparisons you see on Twitter are just moronic. And, you know, like, the like, gamers are no strangers to that sort of behavior. I think in this case, though, like, it was, I think there were more people kind of expressing their opinions on it, like, the amount of, like, TikTok videos I saw with people kind of breaking down what was happening, everything. Like, it felt like a larger wave than maybe others that we've seen. And yeah, like, I think there's some sort of powerful ways to drive change as a result of that. We're seeing, like, a similar sort of thing at the moment with the I've just blanked on the name of the game. Escape from Tarkov in that community.
I thought, like, you were gonna say Ape
Escape. Escape from Tarkov. Like, if you've not been following that, like, people a year or two ago had bought this edition of the game that was meant to include all DLC, and then they released this $250 version of the game that had an exclusive PvE mode and all of this sort of stuff, and the people that had previously paid for this premium edition weren't getting access to it. And I think, like, the community there has been rightfully angry and vocal. I sort of feel like they need to try and be as, like, maybe learn something or two from the Helldiver community, maybe get making those TikToks and explaining all that too. But review bombing, that's what, sorry, I've tangent, I want to come back to the review bombing. I don't feel like that's the right way to go about it, though, because, like, that, how many people are going back and deleting the negative reviews they left on this game? Like, I just sort of feel like that's forever a blemish on the record, and we need to find a way.
I'm pretty sure
that
it's a little bit better now.
Is it? How?
I'm very certain that
there was a spike in the positive. Again,
it went back to mixed or, like, mostly positive today.
So right now, it's on mixed. Recent reviews are mixed, and all reviews are mostly positive. So some people are.
To be fair, like, I don't know the numbers and, like, the full story of this, but, like, if a lot of people are going to lose access to a game they paid for, like, that is, it's fair, like, to review bomb it.
I think absolutely reasonable.
But again, I don't know if it's, like, if I doubt that a good, like, chunk of those were those people. I think it was just getting review bombed by people that didn't impact.
Maybe it's old hat of me, but, like, I don't feel like a review should be, like, this reactive, like, changing thing. Like, I sort of feel like, you know, a review should be kind of, like, a pretty everlasting measure of the quality
I
of the game.
I genuinely think, like, that we should just destroy, like, user reviews should be completely, like, obliterated from the internet. I don't, unless there's some vetting system, because, like Stellar Blade is the highest rated user review game, like, ever or something on Metacritic now. And it's just like, people aren't reviewing the game. They're reviewing the situation around it, which is what's happened with Hell. Like, and it happens
but
with, like,
every game release. Dragon's that's Dogma. What I'm saying. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Remember Dragon's Dogma? People got shitty that they were, you paid for fast travel, but you didn't. But somebody said that, and then it just blew up, and everyone.
It's the same with
it.
The Battlefront 2 pay to win stuff. Like, that.
You're so upset.
I am,
that.
Because it was never pay to win. And, like, that was the whole fucking narrative around that game, like, with people that hadn't played it. Like, gamers just love to jump on something. And it doesn't have anything to do with the game itself. It's just, especially now when stuff's posted out of context, screenshots, manipulated stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go one further and just delete the internet, I think.
Yeah. I agree.
On that note.
On the note of agreeance, we will be talking about Resident Evil now, which is exciting for me, obviously. Maybe some other people, but mainly me. A few days ago, Dust Golem, who has been reasonably accurate about Capcom leaks, and I'm Team Dust Golem all the way. I think he is accurate.
Oh,
I think
really?
Things change. Absolutely. I think things change in development, and a lot of people don't understand that. But also, on the other side of being a leaker, maybe don't leak as much. It's too early, and things won't change, and you won't look stupid, you know? I think that's the hard life of being a leaker, is towing the line between how much you tell people and when.
The hard thing about being a leaker is not being a leaker.
Be a leaker. Be like a modest leaker. But yeah, like, I genuinely think he has good info, so I'm like Team Dusky all the way. Anyway, the story is that he has come out and implied that Resident Evil 9 will probably be revealed soon and be probably released at the moment, early 2025. The game is said to be an ambitious open-world entry and has had the most time in development, beginning development around the same time as Village, and so starting in about 2018. So by the time it releases, what's that? 6-7 years-ish, which is pretty long for a Resi game. So, I guess, I feel like Resident Evil has been pretty good in, like, the past few years. Like, it's doing pretty well. And a lot of people have said that it's kind of due for a blunder. I think that this jump to the open world is, if it's going to fuck something up, this is where it's going to happen. Do we think that that is possible? I want to start with Kieran, because Final Fantasy VII was also open world, and there's some parallels here that I think could happen, as I'm starting to discover.
Give
but
us all the beach
What do you
missions.
Think, Kieran? I'm not there. I'm almost there. I'm on the boat to the beach.
Oh, God, it's just downhill at that point.
Yeah. I was going to say, but James, how would you feel if it was like dressing up James in tiny swimsuits on a beach?
Chris. Was that a Freudian slip? Or do you mean Chris?
I definitely meant Chris. What did I say?
Dressing James! Up James.
Because I was reading. It's because I was looking at you and reading your name on the thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like Chris or even Leon or, you know, what if...
No, only Chris. Okay. But, nah, I don't know. Like I was saying to you like earlier this week when we were talking about this, like, I feel like Village was the right kind of open for me. Like, it was still, there were still, like, clear side quests and stuff, but they weren't, like, kind of in your face or, like, a person saying, go get me this or whatever. It was kind of this, almost do-it-yourself kind of quest design. Like, here's a map, go find some treasure, and then there you get to do puzzles and stuff. And I feel like that was a really good way to kind of skirt the line between, you know, that kind of open-world gameplay and, you know, quality content. Like, I'd always go for 20... Yeah. No, go.
I was just agreeing with you. You can continue.
Thank you. I think that I just hope they don't fall into that trap of thinking like content, like 500 hours, like massive map, like 50,000 side quests, and it's just like, go get me 8 chicken eggs. You know what I mean? And then you just get some 500 coins or something. I really hope it doesn't become like that.
I'm sure there's ways that they could do new things with the open world format that would make sense for it, but without like knowing that that's what they're doing, like it's easy to assume that they'll just do the Ubisoft thing and like fill a map with stuff, which is definitely not what you want.
If it was like strictly for the enemy encounters, like I think that could be quite interesting, or even just like kind of a changing world. Like I kind of love with 8, like every time you come back to the village, it kind of feels like it's changed a little bit. And then sometimes you kind of have these encounters, particularly kind of early on, where you're having to kind of navigate a semi-open section of the map and like kind of traverse seeming like kind of endless hordes of enemies, right? If they kind of made that more of a feature and expanded upon that sort of design, I think that'd be really interesting. But yeah, like I agree with you both. I don't want it to just be a means of like kind of adding unnecessary bloat into the game. You know, maybe like there's opportunity to kind of add more kind of characters into the world and present some interesting kind of side quests and stuff that have a more meaningful impact. But if they don't really kind of build into this story or the world much, I just don't think there's any real point. I'd much rather like a kind of semi-open hub world sort of thing that we had in 8.
I think there'll be like great challenges there too. Like you've just made me think, in a game where a horror game, right? Like you have limited resources, and how do you make it so that a player is wandering this open world where enemies are coming at you every now and then, and like balance you using your ammo, just moving from A to B, when it's less of a focused experience, you know what I mean? Like, if you go through a corridor in RE2, there's three zombies there. And there's always going to be three zombies there. And you put the bullets in the game to kind of balance all of that at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
But if you've got this massive open world, like, how do you balance all of that without making it just become this kind of mindless action?
Suddenly, that's actually sounding a lot like No Rest for the Wicked, which I know I was singing about that game last week, maybe after the show rather than on it. But you know what's really cool is like after you've cleared an area, so to speak, like you can go back to it later and all the resources and stuff respawn, and you can pick the plants that you picked before, that sort of thing. But newer enemies kind of move in and reclaim that area, and so it, like, yeah, you may well kind of expect the same enemies to sort of respawn, but actually it kind of shakes it up and surprises you. And I think that would really well suit Resident Evil 2.
I think... Oh, go, Shannon.
I don't know what Dusky has said in full, but I hope it's not like open world, like, say, Dying Light, and it's more like something like God of War, which... like, it feels open, but, like, you still are pointed, which I know Village did as well to an extent, but it never really sort of forced you to go back to certain areas. Like,
did he just drop for anyone else?
Yeah, he dropped for me.
He did. Am I back now?
The COVID got him.
Am I not back?
He's
back.
Yeah, we missed you. You said I know Village, and then it like, crossed out.
I realized I didn't know it, so I disconnected. I agree.
While we wait for... Oh, he's back. Let's go.
I want it to be more open and, like, it focus on the areas that it adds into the game without it being fully open. But, like, I would like it to be a bit, little less, like, going to an area than never going back. But, yeah, I don't want it to go, like, every other zombie game, which feels like you're just running from A to B across maps, taking out enemies over and over again.
I think, like, Ewan, you said a while ago you thought Village was unfocused. Like, how do they focus an open world
experience? Did I say that I felt it was unfocused?
Yeah, you did.
You've held on to that, I feel.
I've scratched it into my bedpost. Everyone that's wronged my... Nah, but, you, like...
I mean, oh, God. Yeah.
If you don't think that anymore, that's fine, too. I'll rub it off. But,
I'm not sure what context I said that, because, like...
I think it's because, like, each area was different from memory.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, do you want... Because I feel like that you become more modular when you make a game open world, like, in that way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that problem will become worse. Like,
I think what I liked about Resident Evil 8 is, like, it kind of each area felt so distinct and had its kind of own style and vibe, and I think that made for, like, a fun sort of playing experience, but maybe kind of took a little something out of it in terms of like the immersion of it. Like, it kind of felt a little bit more arcadey in that, like, these kind of areas were so bizarre.
Do you mean like, which the first one was vampires, the second one was like technically like a ghost?
I loved Seven in that it was like, it just felt so kind of grounded in this like Southern Gothic sort of setting. Like that was a focused game. And yes, maybe it kind of started getting
it felt like one more outlandish movie,
as you go along. Yeah, it felt like it was sticking to a sort of genre, whereas 8 like was kind of a mixed mash of different things. Which isn't necessarily a criticism. Like, it maybe kind of just depends what you're sort of in the mood for. Like, but it was certainly more pulpy, I suppose. So, yeah, I guess I just kind of want to, like, either way, I just want to see a vision and that sort of, like, executed. You know, be it more kind of like a kind of gothic sort of thing, like the sort of castle setting, or, like, more kind of body horror in that he was the guy that lived in the swamp again. I've forgotten the name, but like each kind of area had its own sort of distinct feel, and I think you can kind of like add variants to environment and setting without it feeling with it was while still maintaining an element of cohesion. I guess that's kind of like what I would like.
James, do you think we'll see this at the next PlayStation showcase, or will Silent Hill 2 want to come out before we see any of this?
Why not both? I say, like, they are.
I reckon
that's possible. Like, Sony's doing Silent Hill, Capcom is doing Resi. I don't think Sony would turn down a Resi reveal so that somebody else could do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they would, and that's the thing. Like, if they do a showcase in June and show off Silent Hill and Resident Evil plus everything else, they will show off. Like, they'll win the week, as people say. Like, they want to do that, so why not? I am excited. I feel like we're firmly out of like that territory when Capcom had that big leak, so we kind of knew what was coming the whole time, up until now. So this is all fresh stuff. I did just see in the last 20 minutes or something, I think Dusk tweeted as well, that the game's going to take on an island, placed on an island, like in Southeast Asia, modeled the after beach. Singapore. So that's like kind of cool. That's like a unique setting. I have heard Southeast Asia before as well from somebody else. So like, I think he's on the money. But I think it's time for like Jill and Leon to get together. Like, if I'm going to just quickly pivot into what I want, I feel like with all the games they've had and remade and stuff, they've kind of done a good job of covering Jill and Leon. So I think it's time for them to come back.
Yeah.
I think Chris will still be in it as like a supporting, same as Ada. And I think they'll finish up the story of like Mia and stuff, because that's still hanging a little bit. But I definitely think it's going to be about Jill and Leon. So bookmark me, bitch.
It's the first prediction in the books.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah. I'm excited for it. I hope it is eventuating. How far in advance have we typically kind of had announcement trailers to the release date? Has it sort of been
6 months?
6 months? Usually. Yeah, okay. So timing wise, it would sort of work out. Yeah. Cool. No, I'm here for it. Let's do it.
That's exciting.
Get the gang together.
Speaking of, somebody didn't say let's do it to the next project that we're about to talk about. They said the opposite. So, a Donkey Kong 3D platformer was apparently in the works at Vicarious Vision. Following Tropical Freeze and they're working with Nintendo for Skylanders, Vicarious Visions were allegedly working on a 3D platformer codenamed Freedom in the Donkey Kong series. I don't think I said that yet, but it was a Donkey Kong game. The game was said to be like an open world-ish game with an emphasis on movement and traversal. Donkey Kong could grind on vines, just like Rails in Tony Hawk's, which I've added in there because obviously Vicarious Visions worked on Tony Hawk's as well. There was like some linkage there. He'd even use banana skins on his feet because Miyamoto was concerned that Donkey Kong's feet would hurt. So, like, that is very Nintendo. But then, obviously, dreams and hopes were shattered. Activision were like, nope, you're working on COD now, and the project was abandoned. So, how do we feel about, like, an open-world Donkey Kong game? Do we think that that's something that could have worked, or... Because, I mean, they tried it kind of with Donkey Kong 64. It was, like, pretty average. Do we think it could work today? Kieran, go.
Yes. Oh, wait, this isn't rapid fire, is it?
No, that's next.
No, I would have loved to see that. I do think that there's like so much potential for a good 3D Donkey Kong game. They just because they didn't nail it once, for, you know, on 64, I don't think it should have dissuaded them from pursuing it more.
Nah, you get one chance.
And I don't know, like, Donkey Kong's always had that kind of, like, larger-than-life attitude. I feel like open world suits it, like, to have those big environments and make it really pretty and just kind of, like, make that be the focus rather than, like, Mario's, like, super tight platforming and secrets and that kind of stuff. Like, yeah.
It's also, like, a way, I think, like, obviously with 64, they had guns. Like, that's kind of weird to think about now, but, like, obviously...
And rap
that,
music.
That, yeah, rap music and guns, which is, like, everything I associate with Nintendo games. But, like, they could definitely... Since that cat has been let out of the bag, imagine if you've got this, like, weird Far Cry-esque coconut gun first-person adventure game, like, where you can skate on vines. Like, that sounds really fucking cool.
Yeah.
But alas, it wasn't happening, apparently.
I'd really like to see, like, a 3D world-style Donkey Kong game. Because, like, when I think of all the characters, like, in Donkey Kong 3, like, they all have abilities, like, similar to Mario. Like, it's almost one-to-one when you think about, like, what it is. I don't know. Yeah, I think open world without guns, like, I can see why. I did play 64, but I don't remember a lot of it, apart from the guns. That's the only thing I do remember. I don't know if I'd go down that route again. Like, I can't think of another time when Donkey Kong has had guns. I'm happy to be corrected, but I don't know. I don't think it'd lend. Yeah, the thing with Mario is, like, he always has something, just... right? Like, Sunshine or Galaxy or Odyssey. Like, there's always something else. I just don't know what they could give the Donkey Kong fam to make that vision come to life, except for guns. I'm sure this would have been cool. I just think Donkey Kong, like, is about to become really important, like, which I know is the next point you've got here, like, within the movie and, like, Super Nintendo world. Yeah, it's I feel like they realized probably 6 months into this project that, like, whilst it could sell well, like, I think we need to think about Donkey Kong holistically and a little bit more closely with our internal studios. But in saying that, they haven't really done anything with it, so I'm keen to see what they could have. I think that could be a Switch game for this holiday. Something. A platformer, anything.
I think it would be good. Like, I obviously just got back from Japan, and I was almost, like, a little bit shocked at how much Nintendo focuses on Mario and Zelda. Like, obviously, I'm not expecting Metroid to be everywhere, but I'm not that, like, deluded. But, like, Donkey Kong. Yeah, yeah. Just drawing Samus on the wall with all the other characters just so she can finally be noticed. But, nah, but, like, real talk, I feel like they're... And Kirby, obviously, as well, but I get that. But I there wasn't a lot of Donkey Kong stuff there. Like, considering there's every single enemy in Mario you can buy a plushie of. Like, even... You know, Mario in the boot. Like, I don't know. That's from one game. Like, I don't know if you guys remember that. But that's such a niche, deep cut from, like, Mario lore. But then, like, nothing of Donkey Kong. Like, really odd to me.
Yeah.
Is it because he's not, like, cute? Like, is that why they did, like, Dixie and Trixie? Like, I don't think Donkey Kong is a cute
but, like,
character.
Dry Bones, is Dry Bones cute? Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
there's an appeal, like, there.
There's, like, three plushies there from Dry Bones I saw alone. Bob, like, I know what you mean, but I feel like King Kong is big in Japan. Donkey Kong can be big in Japan. Like, there's links, parallels there.
Maybe he just needs a bit of a rebrand.
He's perfect as is.
Like, he's a monkey. Like, he's just a...
He's so funny.
There's nothing...
He just likes bananas and hits things. Like, that's like... He's a dream guy. Like,
I have no real connection to Donkey Kong. So, like, I don't really kind of know him, like, terribly much as a character. But, like, is he kind of...
That's wild to me. Like, even that. Like, you don't really care.
Well, like, what... Like, what opportunity have I had to... Like, I obviously know who he is. But, like, I couldn't...
Yeah, true.
If you were to, like, have me put him on, like, a personality chart or something, I couldn't adequately describe Donkey Kong's interests.
If you were after the Super Nintendo, like, you wouldn't really have that nostalgia for him, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's a fair call. Like, there was the
banging
the
your
Switch
bongos
games.
With the GameCube.
Yeah, well, who wasn't back in the day? We all had some bongos to bang. And
is he kind of like a cool, like, skater guy? Like, is
that's
that
funky?
A fair,
that's
a
funky Kong. Yeah,
funky. He's like a cool skater and surfer.
Because I'm kind of imagining this cancelled game as sort of being almost like
Sunset Overdrive sort of esque. Like, that could have been really cool if that was the sort of route that they were thinking going.
Look, I just like this team to work on anything that isn't COD. Like, I'll take Crash, Spyro, I'll take any of the above. Feels a bit wasted, doesn't it?
Mm. I do really sort of hope that, like, Activision Blizzard sort of being part of the Microsoft wheelhouse now, that they kind of get things a little bit more in order. I don't know, Call of Duty is kind of such an issue, I guess, at the moment. Everyone seems to be a support studio for them. But it'd be good to see, like, these other teams kind of freed up to do quirkier things again.
I know, and that's what, like, is so frustrating, is, like, these studios are being, like, swallowed up to make these gigantic annual games that are, like, not even that interesting artistically. Like, it is really disappointing. But even just now, like, all of us talking about Funky Kong and how cool he is and stuff, like, it kind of highlights, like, the cast of characters that they could pull just from Donkey Kong alone, you know? I hope it becomes a thing.
Yeah.
Do we think that there is Donkey Kong on the cards this year? Now that we know there's a direct in June. Do we think we'll see Donkey Kong there, or saving it for later?
I wouldn't be surprised. Part of this rumor was that they moved... Sorry, yeah.
Well, they've just delayed the opening of the Donkey Kong Park to end of the year as well. So, like, is that... Are they that smart? Like, are they going to, like, plan all of that?
Maybe. I don't know. I'd love to see even the SNES games redone. Like, they're all such good games. Yeah. Like, when I think of platformers, like, they're up there with the best. Like, 2 and 3 especially. And I feel like so many Nintendo gamers wouldn't have experienced those. And, like, they would just still land so well now. But that would be cool to see. Like, you and... I'm assuming you've never played Donkey Kong 1, 2, or 3 Country.
Nope.
Do you have Switch Online, Ewan?
Yes.
Can you play one of them, please? They're really good.
Okay.
Well, like, start two. Like, yeah, start two before next week and then see if you like Donkey Kong. But
is this what we're going to do now? We're going to assign me, like, Zuma homework? Is that?
Yeah. Literally a segment.
And then we'll play a match of Apex and we'll call it even. That's how it works.
Seriously, though, like, I just feel like so many people would have missed them. They've never done anything with them. Like, yeah, just package them up. Put them on the shelves for 3 months because that's what Nintendo like to do with games that sell well and call it a day. An easy win.
I think, like, just to clarify, though, you say they haven't done anything with them. What about, like, you know, Returns and Tropical Freeze? Like, don't you consider that?
No. But the original three, like, the 1 to 3 are still great games. Okay. Like, I mean, those. Like, they've never re-released them, remastered them. They're on Switch Online, but just go along with it. Just nod.
No, I just think they would have done it. I think that'd be hard to remaster because of how they were made. But
maybe they're not like H. Like, maybe they're not redone. I don't know. Just package them up, do something. I will just go replay them. I feel like that's what I'm saying. I can do it.
They
right
should
now.
Push them more for us to replay them.
Well, Ewan didn't know about them, and he hosts a podcast, so there's going to be many people out there that.
I really like the pause.
And he's here sometimes contributing.
Yeah, even just now, Ewan saying he doesn't really know it is, like, a little bit eye-opening to me. Not in a bad way.
When Shannon said Tropical Freeze, though, that was a game, like, I didn't play, but I was, like, aware of. But that's probably been the only one. Like, I wasn't a Nintendo kid growing up, though, so I don't know if I'm, like, the best measure.
I just feel like he was everywhere. Like, there was a cartoon. It was shit, but there was a cartoon. Yeah, like, I don't know. But then, obviously, once again, different eras.
Yeah.
But,
I think you're right, though. You make a good point. Like, they're opening the world at Nintendo Land. Like, he's kind of a bigger character kind of in the film. And it seemed pretty clear to me that they want to turn that film universe into this kind of expanding thing. And if they could do a spin-off... Like, it's Seth Rogen that voices him in the film, right? Like, if they could do a spin-off series, like a TV series with Seth Rogen or something, like, surely they would lap that up. So... Yeah, I think you're right that he probably does need a little bit of love on the game front, and if that's the kind of way they close out the Switch's lifespan, I think that makes sense.
I wasn't expecting a 30-minute discussion on Donkey Kong's history, but...
We need to. Maybe this is the only way he comes back into the zeitgeist, Shannon.
Speaking of coming back into the zeitgeist, potentially, our rapid-fire question is all about Starfield. So, listen, all of us. Starfield is getting a long-awaited 60 FPS update and bringing it in line with 2008's Fallout 3 maps. Is this an update that will be enough to get any of you to jump back in?
I'm tempted, but no.
Kieran, you're next. I've decided.
I think so. Oh, if I get on. Time, but yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
That's a big caveat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just going to come out and say no. Like, it's not going to change anything for me. I will jump in when the DLC comes, the paid DLC that I think I own will come out. But not that.
For me, like, maps was a big one. Like, that was one of the main things. I was like, I don't know if I can play this without maps, because getting around is annoying. Like, I was encumbered, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit me a lot. And I love Bethesda Game Studio games. I don't know if I'm going to jump in, like, right now. I probably will wait for the DLC as well and start again. But, yeah, I want to jump back, because I could see what was there. I just think it needed more work, which we all knew. And they're doing that, which is good.
I still played like 50 hours of the game or something. Like, I kind of feel like I got... Oh, did you? Yeah. I sort of feel like I kind of got as much out of it as I sort of wanted. I do feel like I left a bit undone, though. But I've jumped back into Fallout 4 and 76 this year off the back of the show. And that's kind of like me scratching my Bethesda itch, I think.
Anyway, I think it's time to play What the Wiki, which is...
That's like we've been doing this show for 3 days.
Yeah, it does.
This is what really happens sorry. When I'm not hosting. I just waffle.
We should have known that this would have happened when there was a Resident Evil topic in there. Yeah. Like, but anyway, time to play What the Wiki, which is the Press Start Podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game and the contestants must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, and the round ends after one person scores 2 points. As last week's dinner? It's been a long week or day, podcast episode. As last week's winner, James, is in the hosting chair, and just in case you're not aware, that's me. So, let's go. Who's ready? Let's just get straight into it. Everyone's ready? Cool.
Yep.
I'm feeling it for all of you today, so ooh. Let's see how we go. The game is an adventure game played from a first-person perspective to see through the eyes of the playable character, just in case you didn't know what first-person was. The player can look around the environment freely and interact with reachable items and access 3 gadgets from the player's belt. The player is able to teleport to preset locations around the environment, but Ewan. The character can... Yes, Ewan.
Is this Batman Arkham VR?
It is Batman Arkham VR.
Let's go.
Wowee. Who would have thought... Oh, this next one is... We'll see. The game is a 3D platforming action-adventure game in which the player, as a main character and his friends, explores an island and collects items. Yes, Shannon?
Donkey Kong 64.
Shit, it is Donkey Kong 64. Well done. Now, this is the one. This is the one that will test everyone.
I really wanted the bonus point.
Well, I'm sorry. It's gone.
Could have leaked.
Yeah, well. I just almost read the same one.
It's all part of his strategy. He's keeping me away.
The game's story, setting, and artistic design strayed away from the series standard, and while previous games were set in the United States and had a corresponding American feel to them, this game is set in the Southern Ocean and Antarctica, carrying a European Gothic horror design.
What?
In addition, the gothic feel is emphasized through the story. The horror in this game is driven by the story. Yes, Shannon.
Resident Evil Village.
No, it's not. The horror in this game is driven by the story, which follows a crazed man and the fate of his noble bloodline. The story is told partly through a lullaby, and this method of storytelling is intended to bring out the European operatic undertones.
What is this game?
This contrasts to previous games in the series, which were driven by the panic elements from American horror films, such as Monsters and Zombies. After the producer and his team learned they would be unable to port their previous game to the Sega Saturn, they began development on an original game, which became this game. Although labeled a spin-off, it was designed as the true sequel to the last game.
Ewan.
Yes, Ewan.
Is this Silent Hill Arctic Freeze?
That's not a game.
Tropical Freeze.
That sounds like a drink that they're going to release to tie in with Silent Hill 2.
I don't know. I was taking a punt.
Okay. Well, everyone's back. The game is a survival horror video game developed and published by Capcom, originally released for the Dreamcast in the year 2000.
Shannon.
It is...
No.
Shannon.
Resident Evil Code Veronica.
Wow. Shannon, that's it was.
That's what I was
going to
say originally. Oh, wow. Thank you.
Who would have thought?
Damn.
Shannon wins.
I feel like I've got that before.
Oh, really? I've tried to pick the most fucking random paragraph I could find, and I think I succeeded.
Yeah. You did good,
yeah.
I'm so confused. Well,
wowee.
We love that.
So,
just are we sure it wasn't Silent Hill Arctic Freeze? Did we just want to double check
that? No, that's not a game. Yeah, but I'm sure that'll happen one day. Maybe we'll make it into like a mocktail for you. You can have with the next show. So, with that, I'm still at the top. So, 15 points for me, 13 for Ewan, 11 for Shannon, 10 for Kieran, 9 for Brody, and 5 for Harry. And with that, let us bring an end to this week's marathon episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at PressStartAU or visit the site at PressStart.com.au. We've been joined today by Kieran.
Yeah, you can find me on X at #_BRAUN.
Shannon?
Yeah, you can find me on socials at Shannon Grixty.
And I was going to say taking home the points, but I just realized I could fuck that up. So, Ewan?
You can follow me on socials at Ewan_RocksPro.
And I've been your gracious host, James, and you can follow me on X at James, @JAMZ. Thanks again for tuning in, and until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
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 Bye.